Well, it feels like that, actually, because there was a little bit of lack of communication, especially at the beginning. So we're offering communication and also support to local residents and people directly affected by the sinkhole.
What sort of things are being discussed?
Well, obviously, I can't go into too much detail, as sometimes it's quite sensitive information. It's a private group, so we've got anything from housing queries to information about businesses. We've set up a community resource for people, and there's been lots of queries, questions. I've been taking lots of phone calls regarding people who've been evacuated or lost water. So yeah, it's been quite full on, but I've really enjoyed it, and everyone's been really supportive.
Now, obviously, everybody around Godstone has been affected in one way or another. It very much depends on the circumstances, whether they're in the cordoned off areas or the secondary cordon, which is affecting lots of local businesses. I know one business is in within the first cordon as well, so he's had to totally close, unfortunately. What's the feeling amongst the local businesses at Godstone at the moment?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of concern from local businesses because they feel that there's maybe not been the signage or the awareness that they're open, and we're trying to help with that to try and get the word out that they are open for business as usual, because there is obviously difficulty in getting by because of the roadworks and the repairs being done on the sinkhole. So there's obviously been a lot of concern about that.
Obviously, that investigation work into the collapse, as it's now called now, is ongoing. There's lots of radar being used and much, much more to try and investigate the causes of why the road surface gave way, took the pavement and undermined the road to the other side as well.
Yeah, there's lots of special equipment being used, and I know there was some problems initially with the wrong machinery being used, which has slowed things down. I'm hoping that things will get progressed regarding this and that people will find out actually what's happened, because a lot of people are still in limbo.
Now, I know you, like myself, were at the village meeting on Tuesday evening, and a lot of things were discussed, and a lot of possible solutions and ideas were put forward, and some of the speculative causes were put forward. I mean, is there much discussion on your pages regarding traffic, vibration, the cave networks?
That has been one of the things that has been brought up, but there's lots of different things that have been brought up, because there's so many different problems and possible solutions, and obviously we're trying to engage with all that with the residents and those evacuated and those who may be just stuck at home and not able to get out, really, those that are housebound. That's obviously been a big concern as well.
Because I know there's one family who do not want to leave, and they're still having troubles getting their water supply, aren't they?
Absolutely, yes. I've been in touch with them, and I met them at the meeting last night. So yeah, that has been a big concern, and I'm hoping it's getting sorted, but it's just been terrible the way that has been handled.
It is a terrible thing all around, and yeah, I think the local authorities, particularly Tandridge District Council, who now took it over as it got derated from a major incident to a significant one, are trying to grasp the reins a little bit tighter.
Yeah, well, we are engaging with the local council, particularly Catherine Sayer, and also Tandridge Communications. And obviously we're trying to get engaged with the housing department as well. Obviously that's slightly off what we're talking about. But that's obviously really important to us.
Now, you mentioned housing there, slightly off subject to what we're doing, but that is an issue at the moment, as many people have been feeling that they're getting pushed from pillar to post, a couple of days in a hotel here, bed and breakfast there, other sort of rest homes and places who have just been one night stays, and they're looking for long-term solutions now.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, there has been discussion on social media about some people have offered rooms, but it's really the council's responsibility to house people. So really the best way is to speak directly to the council first before engaging with us about that, and so we can help in that way.
Now, Carol, we've heard also various meetings and in discussion with local residents about insurance problems, as insurance companies sidestep by saying, oh, it's the road that's at fault, not the actual building.
Yes, it's a disgrace. Yeah, we're absolutely disgusted about some of the insurance companies and how they've handled this. I know people have been having to provide letters, and there's been a bit of confusion about whether they need to provide the letters or not regarding their insurance. But yeah, it's just been an absolute nightmare for all those concerned.
And Godston itself, they've come together as a big community, haven't they?
I mean, we're a lovely community. I mean, people do genuinely want to help each other and support each other in whichever way possible. And I've had lots of people, you know, coming onto the group saying, you know, how can I help? How can I support everyone, especially those evacuated? And so we have tried to come together. The meeting, I hope, was good in that respect, that at least people were able to voice their concerns. Obviously, not everything has been addressed yet. Obviously, we're still in communication with the council. I can only speak for myself, but me and Sarah, who also admins the group, we'll try ever so hard to get this, get people supported as much as possible.
Carol Ward, thank you very much for speaking to us at Susie Radio, and good luck with the Godston Sinkhole Support Group.
Thank you very much.